I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What is up, Six Rings and football things fans and Patriots faithful? This is Mike Cadlick. He's Andy Jumbo Hart, and we are back with another edition of One Off Wednesday here on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast on WEI Social. We are live. And Andy, I never thought that when we started these live One Off Wednesdays, however long ago, when we needed some more content on the feed and to give our loyal listeners something else to take in during the week, I never thought that we would spend an entire one-off Wednesday episode talking about Michigan quarterback JJ McCarthy. But that's where we are, because over the last, call it 10 days, maybe a week, we have had a flurry of reports, rumors, draft conversations, buzz surrounding JJ McCarthy, the Patriots, where he's going to land in the draft. A lot of people think he's going to land top three. It's been floated that he could land top two. It's been floated that he could be a top. It's all over the place with JJ McCarthy. The Patriots several times have been connected, once by Tony Pauline, which kicked this thing off. Sports Kedia is Tony Pauline, which everyone kind of made fun of Sports Kedia or whatever the heck he comes from. But someone who's relatively plugged into the NFL draft said that the Patriots, there's buzz around him, that Elliot Wolf likes him. Michael Hawley spoke about it on Boston Sports Tonight, saying that he's heard that the Patriots are intrigued. Our friend of the podcast, Mike Giardi, mocked JJ McCarthy, number three overall, to the Patriots yesterday and said that the interest is real. And Scott Zolak, the voice of one of the voices of the New England Patriots on our competitor over there at 98.5, hated him after the pro days, loved him. People think that it might be informed. We don't know, but long story short, there's a lot of buzz around JJ McCarthy right now. So what do you make of it? Is it true? Is it not true? Let's discuss this over the next half hour and see if we can dig any deeper into what the heck's going on with JJ McCarthy.
So you're right. I never saw this coming. There's a Mac Jones-like rise up the boards here or whatever you want to call it, because I do think talent-wise and resume-wise, he doesn't belong in the conversation. I wrote it on the website today and I was just going to look it up, but like the number of games he had with less than 20 attempts is alarming and eye opening for a guy you're going to hand the keys to your franchise to in the top three. Whereas you look at the other guys, you look at Drake May and Jaden Daniels. They didn't have a lot of those games. They were the centerpiece of the offense. Certainly Drake May had to sling it. He had like 40 plus attempt games with regularity. Like that's what he was. But as far as this whole, and I just got into a fight with so-and-so at Fake Heartless on Twitter, because he said one guy, that his response to your, you put on the Six Rings feed that we were doing this. His response was, there's literally one guy saying it. It's a single rumor. And I replied, don't think you're paying close enough attention.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't think you're paying close enough attention. I haven't seen one report that hasn't mentioned Pauline or used his wording. So as you just enumerated, Mike Giardi, Scott Zolak, Michael Hawley, I feel like the whole tone and tenor of everybody at NBC Sports Boston, who are well tied into the head coach and former co-host of their Quick Slant show, Gerard Mayo, everybody has elevated. I mean, to the fact where Zolak and Hawley, who wrote multiple books about the Patriots, was once an embedded journalist in the building. And Zoe, who literally and figuratively rides the team buses each and every week, both went from hating on McCarthy, hating on him to, oh, you better take this guy seriously. He's got really great footwork and like promoting him and praising him. So don't tell me this is just Tony Pauline from Chickapedia or whatever the hell his football Chica thing website is.
Right.
Because he is tied in. He's been around for decades, Tony Pauline. So even if it were just him, I would pay attention to it. Whereas now you add all these others that I don't think are just getting it from him. Giardi, you know, I respect Giardi as much as anybody, and his sources and his not only his sources, his ability to filter through. He's not a crapsheet. Giardi does not just hear from somebody and immediately report it the way crapsheet and some of these others do. He can sort of sift through when he's being used and not being used to carry water.
I think that's the thing. I mean, especially on Six Rings and knowing how long you and Mike have known each other. Like, I mean, you guys go back and forth and joke and shit on each other all the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, we know what Mike is. And Mike Giardi is a great NFL reporter. That's the reason he was able to go national for as long as he did. He knows what's going on. He's tight. And obviously you do respect his opinion. So, and then he would not. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, all that being said, as the great Ron Burgundy once said, I don't believe you. I do not believe the New England Patriots are effing taking J.J. Jonathan James McCarthy at 3 overall. If so, I will not be having a balloon party, Joel. I will be popping every balloon, screaming, crying, having a temper tantrum like a kid in the frickin' checkout line at a grocery store who's not allowed to get the candy bar that he wants because he doesn't belong in the conversation. And we already made this mistake once at 15. It's going to be a worse mistake for Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf at 3 if they do this.
So then, all right, then let's dive into that. You think it's fake. You think it's
fake news.
You don't think it's going to happen. So then if we dive deeper into, let's dive deeper into why. Why is this popping up? Why is this happening? Because you look at the draft order and the Patriots have the 3rd pick. Number 1 is going to be Caleb Williams. Number 2 is going to be one of Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And then number 3, the Patriots are going to sit there with one of the two, basically consensus top 3 guys, and J.J. McCarthy still on the board. They don't really have to throw smoke if they don't want to, because, again, if they like one of those top guys, they take them, and there's no J.J. McCarthy conversation. But if they do like J.J. McCarthy, then they might take J.J. McCarthy. So are they not really in love with those top 2 guys, and they're throwing J.J. out there to try and maybe drive up his draft stock so that a team might trade up for him in the number 3 spot, and then they can maybe get one of the other 2 guys later, or maybe they don't even like the other 2 guys, so they drive up JJ. Like, how do you read it, and what do you see as the reason why we're even hearing this 2 weeks
ago? I think muddy water is good near the top of the draft. As I've said, if I'm an owner and I find out somehow outsiders know what my GM is thinking, that's a fireable offense. Like, that's an inability to do your job properly. So I think there's a number of benefits. There could just be the simple, when Mac Jones fell to 15, I can tell you, former friend of the Six Rings podcast, Chris Scheim, now enemy, he was like, well, if you wanted him so bad, you should have gone and got him, but he just fell in your lap, so you clearly didn't really want him that bad. Avoiding that narrative with either Jaden Daniels and Drake May, now having it be that they picked Jaden Daniels over J.J. McCarthy, who Elliot Wolf loved and was really pushing for, but they just couldn't turn down the raw talent and upside of Jaden Daniels. That's how good he is. They took him over the winningest quarterback, the guy who's so pro-ready because there's so much, like, that idea could be part of it. I don't discount the idea that you can snooker somebody into maybe doing something dumb trade-wise, or snooker. Like, there's a lot of dumb people in the NFL. I firmly believe that. I know it's disrespectful, and I don't mean to be. But I'm sorry. Over my 2 decades covering the league, I see moves where I'm like, what?
And I think in that, too, it's not necessarily, like, yeah, the decisions are dumb and things happen. Like, people make the right moves and know the right people to get to the top of the top in the football world. And then it's almost like they overthink things, and they tried to save their job. And like, and this is off topic, but I'm writing about it tomorrow for WEI.com, the Patriot or the Bill Belichick stuff with Matt Rhule. And Matt Rhule's like, I feel like an idiot because he makes it so simple. And sometimes it is that simple, and guys overthink it and they look like idiots.
I always thought the greatness of Bill Belichick was his simplicity. And it's a great point. Like, don't make it more than it is. Like, even down to do your job. Just tackle the guy. Don't worry about anybody else. Just tackle him. Or slants and in cuts. That's what they want to run. Like some of these famous sideline where you're like, huh, wish I had thought of tackle the guy with the ball. Or like, or, right. Oh, I don't know. Let's stop Marshall Faulk and make sure Marshall Faulk doesn't beat us. Or, you know, even his base defensive theory is take away your best player. Let's see if your two and three can beat us. If they can, you're a good team. You're a deep team. Like,
that's so true the way you say it that way. And like, you don't really think about it until you map it out. Like, it's always like the lore of Belichick is, well, he's going to take away your best player. And it's like, well, why doesn't everybody just do that? He's
and
the best player.
I don't want to over like his game plans and the way he goes about doing that. Obviously, very impressive. He does a lot of things.
Of course. This isn't a downplay Bill Belichick.
The base philosophy is generally pretty simple. And I think sometimes in the draft, you're right. People think and overthink. And, you know, I know that he knows that I know that we need that they need. And like, it's like,
bingo.
Is he good? Do you want him? So just take him. It's almost the tone. I always go back to this, the tone of the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick discussion about the field goal against the Rams in the last Super Bowl. And Brady just goes, kick the field goal and the game's over.
Yeah.
And I feel like take the quarterback and it's the right thing. Kind of like that tone of Brady. But I do think, and part of this is we don't have a track record on Elliott Wolf and this regime. Are they smoke screeners? Do they love to have lots of information out there, misinformation, or are they honest? Like so far they have told us, and I'm saying through the totality of the offseason, they've told us a lot and lived up to some.
That word totality has been used way too much.
Yeah, I don't even get it. That annoyed me. That's a separate, we don't need to get into an eclipse.
Separate one-off.
We don't need to get into an eclipse conversation because when that happened on the morning show, one of the co-hosts cried and we don't need to go down that road.
Poor Courtney. That was tough.
That was, just a quick aside, I guess. That was amazing. Greg was such a bully.
All right. I'm glad we're on the same page then. Because
Courtney, I don't know why you cried. And there's a theory out there that I kind of buy that I don't want to, I'm not going to promote, but it came in on the text line last night that I think is a very sound theory. And people can probably figure it out about a woman being emotional in the morning. I'll just say it like that. But Greg was a bully. And the only person that really came off looking good in that, I thought, was Wiggy. Wiggy kept trying to be like playful and like redirect and like steer it in a different direction. And then Courtney and Greg, neither would let the other really have the last word and kind of bring it back to the discussion.
Yeah, they kept going and kept going.
But it was like
uncomfortable.
There was dead air. Then there was like, did Courtney leave?
There was a lot of dead air that I was like, wow, they really don't know what to do right now. Yeah, no, that was, it made for good. I mean, it was good. It was relatively entertaining.
In an awkward
sense. I
obviously
don't want Courtney to go cry on the of course. Right. It was like, I can't stop watching this. I gotta see what
it's
next.
It's live radio. It's live, like long form debate, whatever radio where sometimes, you know, stuff gets real and people get mad and whatever. Okay. So going back to
back to JJ McCarthy, who Courtney actually picked. Courtney picked JJ McCarthy as the number three overall pick a couple weeks ago when I did my WEEI stop.
So she was ahead of the curve.
Yes, she was.
Maybe. Or just part of the smokescreen or part of the whatever zeitgeist. Yeah. Is that what they call that thing? I always get confused using that.
So.
I just go back to the simple. It's the argument I've used with you. I've used with Keith when you ask about like talent and ability and everything. Like there's three guys that I think are first round prospects. They've proven it over time. They've proven it in various ways. And I don't know if the Harbaugh stuff plays in here. I'd like to not think that. I'd also like to not think a pro day. Like, we poo-pooed pro days a couple weeks ago. And now everybody's JJ McCarthy had a great pro day. Like, he killed it. I'm reading all these. Like, okay. Did he kill his season? And the answer can be different on that. Because some people will say,
that's kind of where I want to get.
He won the national title. Because, he was undefeated.
Right.
Did he? Because if I can bring Blake Corum, Zach Zinter, and the best offensive line in the country with J.J. McCarthy, I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's how the draft works. I don't think you actually get all his teammate buddies with him. Like, You get J.J. McCarthy behind no left tackle and with no receivers to throw to, and I'm guessing there's going to be a few times, even with Alex Van Pelt talking about the run game, I'm guessing in the National Football League, there's going to be – oh, by the way, they might be trailing because I'm not sure they're a great team. I think he might have to throw the ball more than 20 times.
And that's kind of where I want to steer this because actually last Friday, speaking of, we're just going to tie the Greg Hill show. This is a Greg Hill show. Six. Oh,
they run the station. I mean, our station's built on Greg Hill. That's what I've been told.
They were talking about how
real quick. So we ripped Scheim for blowing us off for now consecutive prospect podcasts on the Six Rings feed.
Yeah.
The Greg Hill show. The guy whose name is Greg Hill didn't show up for the show. Like, he was late. That was the other.
That was the other
6 o'clock reservation. Like, you're supposed to be here at 6. Your name is on the show.
Wait, he was an entire hour late? He was an hour late.
Yeah, that was his first hour. He got right into it and got into a fight and made a young lady cry.
That's why his lead was so late. Okay, now it all makes sense. See,
all because he blamed it on a national title game starting too late, and he set his alarm. It didn't go off. I don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Jonas Gray's career ended because of what Greg Hill did yesterday. Pretty sure it ended his career. Yeah, so I don't know, but he's the boss. He's the final boss at our station, to steal a term from WWE these days. Okay, get back into JJ. Sorry.
Last Friday, when Greg was on time for the Greg Hill show, they were talking, I believe it was in the 9 o'clock era. So maybe he wasn't even on time, but it was 9 o'clock. I was listening, and Curtis went on to say that the number three quarterback always stinks. And it was kind of relative to what we talked about last week on the show. Number three quarterback always stinks, always stinks. And he listed them all, and then he left off Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson. So I called in and got on with them for a little while. I was like, Curtis, this is BS, blah, blah, blah. And the first thing, you'll like this, the first thing he says was, well, Cadlick, weren't you the one who loved Mike Gesicki last year? And weren't you the one who said that they were going to win 11 games? So he got me.
Not really. That's deflecting. Regardless. You got him on the facts, and he tried to be misleading. He tried to be the typical,
He gaslighted me.
Yeah.
He gaslighted me. That Greg Hill show, full of gaslighting. Anyway, well, regardless, we got into the J.J. McCarthy talk when I called in, and Wiggy was asking what, I think about it. And what I kind of brought up was the intangibles and how much they matter. Because if you read into the Athletics, Dane Brugler's the beast column thing today that he put together that everybody loves, he wrote about J.J. McCarthy and how he was talking to the recruits in his class and was like, we don't party, we don't chase girls, we're going to bring Michigan back to the national championship. And he did it. And he has that, and he has the meditation that people might think is corny, but it dials him in to play football at a pretty solid level, win 30 X amount of games and lose only two. And I wonder how much that factors in too, because we talk about the pro day. He also has all these meetings with teams, and is he in there blowing teams away by how dedicated he is and how much he loves the game? And if you can pair that with a person who make solid decisions and can run an offense soundly and doesn't necessarily have to throw the ball 50 times a game to have success, which the Patriots, Alex Van Pelt told us, they're going to run the ball. They want to run the ball. They want to establish the run. They have two running backs in Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. Is this just maybe a decent fit for the Patriots at number three? If they like what we talk about culture, they're talking about culture all the time and how they want to start anew and bring in fresh blood, these high character, high quality guys. Is that J.J. McCarthy?
Okay, so my count, it's a fair question, and he should be packaging himself with all of that, because flat out he doesn't have the numbers and the production.
Right.
Has there, and I don't know, I'm asking this live. This is why I like doing these live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who is the example, who is the best example of a quarterback who didn't put up big numbers in college and then became a franchise QB in the National Football League? Because I don't really know who they are.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go a different direction as far as a guy who was started passing people and wound up actually getting picked for intangibles. And Elliott Wolf did it with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland.
Right, but
it was Sam Darnold. It was Josh Allen. And then they fell in love with Baker's swagger and took him. But he also did
he had the numbers
at Oklahoma. So that's, it's different. And he did have
Is there a game manager from college who became a franchise QB? Because I don't know one.
Tom Brady.
But he wasn't. He put up big numbers in bowl games and like.
Yeah, I guess.
I think his numbers are under appreciated at Michigan. He had to do the whole rotation and Drew Henson. Like, that's a separate issue. But he had big games and put up big numbers at times where I just think. And again, I always say this to everybody. There's no shame in just being a really great high school player. There's no shame in just being a really great college player. Like, that's the lot of some people's lot. Like, he had a great college career in which he was a game manager. He lost one game over 2 years. He won a national title at Michigan. He did great things. That does not mean, sorry, Antonio Pierce, that doesn't mean he's one of the best three QBs in the draft and should be going high. I mean, who's the freaking kids, Jake Fromm and all those guys, the one after him at Georgia? Like, okay, that's great, but I can appreciate you for what you did, but I struggle with this. What I think you want, if you're picking a guy in the top three, he should be the physical, the numbers, and the leadership and intent. Like, that's what I actually need in a franchise quarterback, and that's why it's so hard to find him, because I think sometimes you find the intangibles, and then the tangibles don't go there. Or you have the tangibles, like, dude can play, but he's Michael Vick. He doesn't lead. He doesn't study film. He doesn't. And when you marry those together, that's when you get Joe Burrow, who is talented and maniacal, and he's going to be a great for a long time. Or Josh Allen was willing to put the work in to become what Dable thought he could become and do all of that. Whereas the world is littered at every position with try hard, work hard, lead hard guys. Lots of them. They don't have the ability and they get washed out, because you can only get, as much as we want to tell kids and stop listening, kids. I'm stop listening right now. Put your earmuffs on. As much as we want to tell them, like, effort matters more than anything, attitude matters more than anything, to a point. At some point, you have to be able to get the job done with your physical ability on the field. And this is where I don't hate J.J. McCarthy physically. I think he's the fourth best quarterback. I think he has ability. I think he has decent size. Like, he's 6'3". He's not a midget. Oh, I don't know if you say that word. Strike that word. I didn't mean to say that word. He's not a little guy like me. He can throw and he's athletic. Like, I think he's in a way, he's better than what I'm painting him as a game manager, but he's not a elite talent.
That's the problem with this J.J. McCarthy narrative now. Everyone now wants to knock him down, when it's not his fault that, you know, people overdraft quarterbacks and people are now putting him in the third spot. Right. And then like
Mac Jones. Mac Jones goes in the second or third round, where maybe his talent warranted, and he has the kind of year he had, even if he falls off after that, it's viewed differently. But he was viewed as a first round pick because he was a first round pick. And even he got hurt even more. And this is another thing that could be tied to J.J. McCarthy. Mac Jones had the whole San Francisco at three rumors. So he went from being like a mid-level prospect to the third pick in the draft to then 15 is where he landed. J.J. McCarthy, I've said it all along. I've talked myself into all you people. I like to throw you people out there when I can. All you people that want to do the trade down, get a quarterback later scenario, if you could get J.J. McCarthy at 23, I'm listening.
Now we're talking.
Like, the Vikings trade 11-23 in a first next year, and I get J.J. McCarthy at 23. I don't know if I'd still do it, but because I do think Jaden Daniels' talent and Drake May's talent is on a different level.
Yeah,
but
their ceilings exceed, right.
I just worry. I think where Curtis... To me, with Curtis, it's not a number. It's the guy that gets pushed up who people aren't sold on as a first-round talent. The Jake Lockers, the EJ Manuel, whoever these guys are.
Right.
And that's why I keep...
Kenny Pickett.
Yes, Pickett. That's why I keep doing the exercise with you and Rich and just at Caleb Williams, first-round pick in any draft. Yes. You know, and you can... And when you get to J.J. McCarthy... I don't know if you're being honest, if you can just confidently say yes, no matter what draft he's in, he's a first round pick. I don't believe he is. So that tells me something. That tells me where his talent level and sort of overall value is.
So then how will you feel if they do draft him number three overall? Hiss. Okay.
I'd rather have Marvin Harrison. That's the one example. Like, if you take J.J. McCarthy, I'd rather have Marvin Harrison, which I don't even think is a good pick. But I if you draft J.J. McCarthy, I don't know how you can even do it, because I think you have to go now the Eagles 49ers model. You have to have a top five roster, and you're so far from being a top five roster. How are you getting the left tackle? How are you getting multiple receivers? How are you getting better at, like, cornerback? Like, look at the 49ers and even the Patriots' good players. Ramondre Stevenson is good. He is not Christian McCaffrey. And they have two receivers that you can't hold their jock. Like, their tight end, you can't hold his jock. Where are you getting all this talent? Because do I think J.J. McCarthy, the 49ers are an example. If he landed on the 49ers, do I think if he had to play in a year, he might be able to get the job done with that roster? Absolutely. I think he
is. Is he better than Brock Purdy? Someone brought up Brock Purdy in the chat too when we were talking about like game managers in college who have had success.
I would say not now, but I would have said yes if I didn't know Brock Purdy had done what he's done over the last 2 years in the NFL. You know what I mean? I don't know how I can.
I don't really get it.
Like, I'm trying to compare apples to apples before they played in the NFL. And obviously Brock Purdy was the last guy drafted. Yeah, right. And I didn't think much of him. I'm not going to pretend I was a big Brock Purdy promoter, like he slipped in the draft or anything. But now, I'm sorry, if we're going to give J.J. McCarthy credit for winning 27 games over 2 years at Michigan, I got to give Brock Purdy credit for winning 100%. 30 games in the NFL over 2 years. Right? You know what I mean? So. Right. He's on a higher level, but I think just talent-wise, perception-wise, I think they're similar. And I think if Brock Purdy could land, I mean, if J.J. McCarthy could land with the 49ers, he'd have a shot, but he's not. He's going to land with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And if he lands with the Patriots, he's going to be expected to turn the franchise around. And that's a lot of pressure for a guy who's a game manager in college.
Right. So a shorter show here today because it was really one topic. But before we get out of here, I want to bring this up from the chat. And it is from DJ Daniel, who responding to somebody, but says, I think JJ at three is far riskier than, I'm just going to turn this into a discussion point, a guy like Drake May. Absolutely. Because Merrill Hodge talking about Drake May, saying that that is somebody who gets you fired. And JJ McCarthy, there seems to be some people saying that he's the safest pick and other people saying he's the riskiest pick. I say he's risky. Like, people say that his floor is so high. I don't necessarily agree. I think he could bust big time and the intangibles could mean nothing. And he could hit the NFL and not have the support system he had at Michigan and fall flat on his face. So I don't know about you, but I think that it's safer to take Drake May much safer to take Drake May than it would be to take JJ
100%.
McCarthy. Number three. I think JJ McCarthy is swinging for the fence. And when you are Elliott Wolf in this front office, you don't really have jobs yet. Like, there's these rumors that all of a sudden they're going to sort of reshuffle the front office and may hire somebody else after the draft. So I think you need to, if you're talking risk versus reward, I think Drake May is the safer.
I could not agree more. I had this discussion. I don't think he'll mind me bringing it up with Paul Perillo yesterday. This idea that he's safe, and we both said just what you said. No, it's the exact opposite. He is a sort of like a faith-based pick. You have faith that he can be more in the pros than he was in college. And that happens. Lots of guys do that. Now, not sure how many guys do it at the quarterback position. I think it's generally at other positions for whatever reason, guys have like explode when they get to the NFL. But that was my point with like the 30 attempt games and the 40 attempt games and the 20 attempt games. Those guys were the centerpieces of their offense. He wasn't. He's the quarterback of his offense. And that's a difference. Like, even with Jaden Daniels having great receivers, he was the centerpiece of that offense. Like, that ran through him literally and figuratively with his arm, but also his legs and everything he did. Drake May had the pressures of change in scheme and play caller and talent not great around him. Like, and whether he handled it great or not, you have these people, go watch the NC State game. He sucked and this and that. And same thing with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams has been a star for multiple years. He's not going to face, it'll be different because it's the NFL, but it's the same kind of role. He is the franchise, just like he was the franchise when he transferred from Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley to USC. I just think J.J. McCarthy had the best coach, the best line, the best back, the best like structure to work within. He's probably...
And maybe the best mentals that could hone that all together and turn it into something. But what does that mean?
And he did that in the Big Ten, not the SEC. Like there's other little, which I don't, aren't the biggest deals to me, but they're factors here. Now he's going to be in the NFL. It's all on his shoulders. It's all about him. And we saw Mac Jones, who was NFL ready and safe and low ceiling, but high floor and all those things. We saw him break. We saw him become a puddle of goo. And yeah. I don't want to say that would be predictable for J.J. McCarthy, but you, again, you're working on a level of faith because you haven't seen it. You haven't seen him have to go week after week, throw the ball 40 times. You know, the old Peyton Manning, we talked about it for years, even with Tom Brady, that early part of Tom Brady's career and Peyton Manning's career were so very different because Peyton Manning from day one is throwing 28 interceptions because he's the centerpiece. We got to chuck it all over the field. If I punt, I lose. Tom Brady was dink and dunk. No one ever lost because they punted, Tom. We have a great defense. Antoine will run the ball. And then 2005, 6, 7, it was, hey, we're going to treat you like Peyton Manning now. We got you some receivers, and you're going to chuck the ball all over the field, and we're going to win and lose on your right arm. That was an elevation and a development in his game. I just don't see it with and to me, the third pick, you can't have all these questions. You have to, like, most of the, like, that's why I go back to Drake May. I think he answers a lot of questions, and there's less. Would I like it to be perfect? Sure, but no one's perfect. The first pick in the draft is not perfect with Caleb Williams. There's doubters and makeup and chemistry and all those that, like, but I just don't think J.J. McCarthy checks off a lot of boxes. Now, to get back to the beginning, this is the most interesting, and maybe it's because we're at the top of the draft, but the way this has played out with Zolak and Holly and this whole thing, I find fascinating because I just, where it's is fun. Holly getting his chatter from? That's how he termed it, chatter. Right. Well, what does chatter mean? Did you hear Phil and Tom Curran like over in the corner chattering and you picked up on it? Or did somebody chatter to you that's more of a source? But
and that's the beauty of this game and media versus TV. And I guess I will plug my new podcast because I talked about it with Tommy Curran on the Behind the Mic podcast, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, on wherever you get your podcast, and follow at Behind Mic Pod on Twitter. And we talked about that whole breaking news thing and how when you're in TV versus you're a reporter and you can kind of say things that you know without using sources, and this is a report, hard report, you can just kind of float things out there and it's informed, but you sound smart. And so, like, is that what Holly's doing? Does he know something and is not actually reporting it because that's not his real job anymore? Or is he just using speculation to get TV ratings, which he's also allowed to and kind of can do now in his new spot?
And the other thing I wish Holly and Zoe would do is tell me the Patriots like J.J. McCarthy. They like his footwork. They thought he had a great pro day. And then say, I still think he's not very good. I still think he's a question. You know what I mean? Like, you're allowed to have your own opinion that is different than Elliott Wolf's and the Patriots. Now, they're the professionals. Tom Curran yelled at me on TV, like, why would you question Elliott Wolf? He's more experienced and more informed than we are. Sure. Just like the Jets were when they took Zach Wilson. Just like every team was when they busted a pick. So I have confidence in my own assessment abilities and opinions. I'm wrong just like them. Like we've gone over that. But so just because the Patriots may or may not actually really like J.J. McCarthy doesn't mean I have to like him and say it's the right move. I can still say it's a stupid move. So I will stick with that. I think this is a silly rumor. I think this is some sort of, I don't know, smokescreen or whatever, manipulation of reporters. And I do not think they will be drafting J.J. McCarthy at 3, because if they do, it will be a mistake.
I would agree with you. I think that maybe Tony Pauline heard something. People wanted to try and find more information. People got stuff. People wanted to run, not run with it, but kind of follow up and see if they're in the know as well. And then it kind of turns into this whole smoke screen that might not be a real fire. It might just be the fact that there is smoke in the NFL draft, and that's what silly season is as we approach less than 3 weeks now, approaching 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, and the Patriots hold the number 3 pick. I am with you. I don't think they draft JJ McCarthy either. Before we get out of here, anything else you want to hit on before we get out of here on this Six Rings One-Off Wednesday, or do we basically hit on?
No, I continue, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but I'll bring it in because this is the conversation of the day, the quarterback, the number 3. We've reached a point where there almost feels like too much consensus on Drake May. You know, I said to you, the Boston Globe, Ben Volen, it's got to be May. And then Andrew Callahan's like, I've done all my research and I've settled in that Drake May is the man. And Mike Giardi, we know, loves Drake May. I like Drake May. Shime loves Drake May. Everybody has settled on Drake May.
We all love Drake
May. For the 3rd overall pick, and even if you inject the 4th guy and Marvin Harrison, I find it uncomfortable that everybody has – it just feels like then it can't be that.
We're all going to be disappointed.
It feels like it can't be that if we've all just locked in on Drake. And he may be gone. That's the other possibility because we have had – I do like Joe Milton, Daniel Desgranges.
You got the hat and everything.
The problem is I like Joe Milton in, like, the 6th round, not in the – and I don't even know if he's going to last that long, and he's probably not worth taking much above that. He's a flyer. He's a true, like, he's Happy Gilmore. Take a shot on the guy that can crush the ball and hope that the rest can come together at some point.
Bingo. Yep.
But this idea that everybody has settled on Drake May makes me uncomfortable. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, as I joked on, we can't have nice things. There's no way we all want Drake May and the Commanders take Jaden Daniels and they take Drake May. And it, because it would actually kind of be 2 years in a row for me anyway. My top prospect a year ago was Christian Gonzalez. Now, I thought they would have to trade up to get him, not trade down to get him. So I can tell you, never has it ever happened that my top choice 2 years in a row has come to the Patriots. Like, no chance.
There's a first time for everything. New era, new regime.
I hope so.
New attitudes.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Breaking down
I'll
barriers.
Go with that until I'm given reason to not believe it. So, okay, it's going to be Drake May. It's don't worry about JJ.
It's May Day.
No way on JJ. It's going to be hashtag take Drake. We're all maniacs.
It's fun. And he's going to have a lot more of that. We're going to have a lot more of using that name once he gets here to try and blend it into titles and headlines.
Did you see Drake's? Is an official sponsor of WEEI right now. Now, why they're not sponsoring the draft night show, I have no idea.
I know.
That makes no sense to me. They should have been the most obvious. I said we should have had very simply Jack Daniels is a sponsor and Drake's Cakes. And all of us on the show are holding a shot glass of Jack Daniels and a Drake's cake. And whenever the Commanders make their pick so that we know who's off the board, we either eat the Drake's cake,
take a shot of Jack Daniels,
or
new Boston cream flavor, too.
I saw that, but they were out of them when I got there yesterday. There was a box, but I wondered, those looked, those were intriguing to me.
Yeah, those look pretty good.
In honor of Drake May, a new Boston cream flavor.
Drake May.
Because he's the cream of the quarterback crop, and he landed in Foxborough.
That's going to do it for Six Rings and Football Things on this one-off Wednesday. That's enough headline heart for you. That's enough headline heart for me. But we'll be back as we settle in and as we get into this very intriguing, very interesting number 3 pick the Patriots have coming up in just over 2 weeks. Me and Andy will be in studio draft night, so make sure to listen into the Rich Keefe Show draft party 6 to midnight that night. We'll be back here on Six Rings all week long leading up to it. So make sure you rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, at Six Rings Pod, and tweet at us if you have any suggestions, complaints for our next one-off Wednesday, or anything else that goes on the pod. Until then, he's Andy Jumbo Hart. I am Mike Cadlick. Take Drake May. He's the guy. We're all maniacs here on this show. So until next time, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next.